God made you and he allows experiences in our life, both good, bad, and sad, and ugly, and great, and blessed, in order to fulfill the purpose of God for our life.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This is a new sermon series exploring the life of Paul. Today's message is entitled, The Journey. The Life of Paul, Part 1. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
Stephen, a man full of faith and power, and the Bible says that he was doing great miracles and great wonders in the book of Acts chapter 6, verse number 8. He's doing great wonders, and then he stands up and starts preaching and tells all these Jews, you are the guys that put Jesus to death. All of y'all are guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he just went ahead and preached the gospel. You can read about it in the book of Acts chapter number 6, and it made him so mad. So I just want to say to you, when you open your mouth for the cause of Christ, don't expect everybody to hand you a popsicle and a $100 bill. In fact, in the days that we're living in right now, you're going to find that many people are offended, just like Jesus said, whenever you present the message of the cross to them. But you've got to do what God's called you to do. Come on, I want to know, is there anybody sold out enough to be able to do that on your job? Anybody can do it in here. Anybody can talk Jesus and him crucified in here. I want to know, when you get in that dump truck, when you're sitting at that computer, when you're checking people out at the store, when you're doing whatever that you do, are you bold enough in the Holy Spirit to be able to stand up like Stephen in spite of the fact that it could cause you rejection and ridicule? Because you know folks can stone you with their tongue. There's an awful lot of that happening on social media today. They're not using physical rocks. They're just throwing spiritual rocks and chunking all kinds of words at you. So here they are. Jesus' followers, after Jesus ascended, they were a little bit worried. The Pharisees were a little bit worried here in the book of Acts and the latter portion of the Gospels. They're a little bit worried because Jesus is still walking around 40 days after he's been resurrected. Don't you love that? I thought about that when I was studying this entire outline right here, because Jesus didn't walk out of the tomb and go, "Whoa, I got to get out of here. They might crucify me again." He walked around alive for 40 days and showed himself to more than 500 people. You know, sometimes when I read the Bible, I just find these comical places, and that's one of them. Because if they were really wanting to find Jesus and kill him, he's walking around 40 days saying, "Hey, y'all, here I am. I'm alive again. What are you going to do? You can't kill a dead man. He's already dead. Come back to life." Come on, somebody. Come back to life. Here I am walking around for 40 days. I want to say to all of you that are out here, when you went to the cross, you're a walking dead man. Don't you worry about the voices and the words of those that are in the world that will reject you. Just walk around in the boldness of God, just like Jesus did. The resurrection power lives on the inside of you. 40 days he walked around alive, showing himself, according to the book of Acts chapter 1, with many infallible proofs. Luke is writing all this down. All this has to do with Saul. And so here he is. The reason why Stephen got stoned is because the word was out. They said, "Jesus is alive," and they've seen him over here. No, they saw him over here. I mean, it was like Elvis. They saw him over here. No, we saw him in Memphis. No, we saw him in Pace. All right, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. 40 days, they're seeing sightings of Jesus. He's just showing up, walking through walls, cooking fish on the seashore, having a good time. "Can't kill me again." Right? Come on, somebody. All right? MC Hammer said, "Can't touch this." Jesus said, "Can't touch this." All right, "Can't touch this. Can't touch it. It is finished. Can't touch this." Okay? So he walked around 40 days alive, and they were hearing the sightings of Jesus, and nobody went out to find him and say, "Let's kill him again." Because that's a little spooky to all these Pharisees. Come on. So then they hear that Jesus ascends. And they were going, "Phew, thank God he's gone now." Oh, no. 10 days later, the church got filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Out of that prayer meeting comes Stephen. Stephen is preaching with boldness and showing the same and doing the same miracles that Jesus did while he was here. Now you got a problem. We only had to deal with one Jesus. We tracked him down and killed him one time. Now he's gone, and now you got all these others that are filled with Jesus' Spirit. And they're going all over the place doing many signs, wonders, and miracles. And Stephen preached the word of God with boldness, and that's what got him killed. Inner Saul, he's standing there. And as he's watching the first martyr be killed, this is a very impactful point for Saul's life. This is a turning point even. Even though it gets worse in the next chapter, verse number 1, this is a turning point. And this is one thing that I do love, and I'm not going to refer to the movie all the time, but I'll just say to you, this is one of the things I did love about the movie, because it showed something that I'm going to say to you in just a moment that I believe really helps connect some dots all the way back to this particular event right here. So Stephen, I mean, can you see it? There's Saul with a group of people. They're chunking rocks. Here goes one. Hits him in the head. 2, 3, 4. And after a while, you can't count them. And you see Stephen fall to his knees. And he's about to be unconscious from the blows of these gigantic rocks and being pelted. And I'm not talking about one at a time. I mean, you've got to think. And here's the thing. The book of Leviticus, according to the scripture, chapter 24, verse 10 through 16, says that stoning would take place for those that would be false witnesses. So they got up these false accusations. Look at the parallel between Stephen and Jesus. They got up false accusations from two witnesses that said Stephen is an insurrectionist and we've got to kill him like we did Jesus. Otherwise, this thing's going to get out of hand. But this they don't know here, and neither do they know it now, even with those who are called ISIS. Because the more you try to kill the Christian church, the more it multiplies. So here's Stephen being pelted by hundreds of rocks, and after a while he falls down to his knees, and one of the most poignant places in the entirety of the scripture, there is Stephen, and the Bible said he looks up into heaven, oh my God, and it's one of the only times that you see Jesus standing in the entirety of the scripture, and there he is. Somehow God peels open the heavens. And Stephen looks up in one of his last dying gasps and says to them, Father, don't lay this to their charge. Don't hold this against them. Otherwise, translated from the words of Jesus from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And with the last blow of the rock, the first martyr's blood is spilt all over the ground. But with every drop of blood and every cell of that blood, it multiplies 10,000 times. Because that happened in the book of Acts chapter number 7. In the book of Acts chapter number 8, Saul goes on a rampage at this point. Killing. He knew Leviticus 24. That's the reason why he helped lead them out there to stone this false witness that Jesus is alive. But that very event is going to change Saul into the Apostle Paul. This very event, as he hears the words of Stephen while he's kneeling down, don't lay this sin to their charge. And the Bible says in one translation, Stephen fell asleep. Now, make sure you understand, Saul was no innocent bystander in this. He was a party to the murder of an innocent man. But it would be the life-changing event for him. By the hands of Saul, great persecution would take place. How many of you understand that sometimes whenever people go through things or whatever inside of their life, and even, let me say it like this. Have you ever prayed for somebody to get saved and it got worse? I mean, you're saying, God, are you even hearing my prayer? Because at least they were coming to church when I wasn't saying nothing. Now I've gotten serious and got down to prayer, and now they're writing me hate mail. Now I don't see them at all. This is a poignant place right here. The first time we see Saul is when the first Christian martyr is being killed, and he is a party to it. And the next time that we see it, when you flip over to the book of Acts chapter number 8, look at it right there, Acts chapter number 8, verse number 1. In Acts chapter number 7, verse 60, we see Stephen's death take place. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting. He gave his authority. He gave his approval unto Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except those apostles. I want to stop right here and say to you, do you remember? See, oh, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we get all excited about that. Come on now. We get all excited about that. We have this Holy Ghost meeting going on. But then the Bible goes on to say, you shall receive the Spirit after the Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Look what the Bible says. The Bible said great persecution scattered the known church from Jerusalem. Could it be the thing that we see is the worst thing happening is actually God's thing happening to get the gospel out through people that have now been filled with the Holy Ghost, and persecution drove them out of their own church to go to Samaria, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth? Because you know, like I know, that when you get a good Holy Ghost church, you just want to come sit on the pew and hear the sermon and sing the songs. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not talking to y'all. I'm not interested in doing any witnessing. I just want the Holy Ghost so I can feel good. Wait a minute. The only reason why this is happening is so we can get the gospel out. Come on, say amen, somebody. And so the church at Jerusalem was going nowhere until great persecution broke out and people started getting killed. Great persecution broke out. People start getting killed and they start running for their lives. This is one thing, actually, that the movie does an excellent job and telling and showing the agony of what's going on right here. And just notice that the word here, the Bible says, down in verse number 3, are you still with me here? And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing women and men and women, committing them to prison. Now, that is a very King James way to describe havoc. The word havoc means to ruthlessly devastate. I don't believe that I could accurately describe what was going on, but I will tell you this, that the details of the havoc that he was making of the Christian church was the parallel to what we see in ISIS today. To the degree that they were ripping Christian babies from the wombs of mothers. They were beheading them and slaughtering them. They were taking their skin and filleting the Christians, peeling their skin from their body. Nero was merciful compared to what Saul was doing. Nero was taking Christians and putting them on poles and lighting them with oily rags to light up his gardens and the streets around the city, as part of the persecution of Christians, to try to tamp down. I just asked you a question. Hey, I'm asking you a question. If that happened in our own little community right here, are you ready to go to the full length of this thing? Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is not just some little fairy tale that's going on right here. This is, ladies and gentlemen, the cost of following Jesus. I'm not saying you've got to be a martyr. I'm just saying, are you ready to face the ultimate decision to say, yes, Jesus, I will go all the way to the end in spite of whatever may come my way?
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.